Want to speak this morning about taking the long view, seeing what's in the distance, putting our focus on what is at the end of the road. Do you sometimes ask, is it worth living God's way? Do you ever feel frustrated because you're trying to do the right thing? Well, others clearly do what's wrong. And yet sometimes their life seems easier than yours. You tell the truth, they tell a lie. You keep the law, they break the law. But they somehow seem to get away with it. You're living for God, and they couldn't care less. Have you ever said to God, I just don't get it, God? You're not alone in that. The psalmists were often talking like that. It's hard to watch, well, ungodly people prosper when they climb on the backs of others to achieve their goals. Where are you, God? When are you going to fix this, God? Why does life seem to keep giving me lemons? We need to remember God has a long-term plan. We need to have that long-term view. So I want to take you this morning to Psalm 37. I hope this might be an encouragement to you that living God's way is worthwhile. We'll certainly get through the first 20 verses. Whether we'll get to the second half of the psalm, we'll just have to see how we go. Let's read verses 1 to 20 of Psalm 37. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants... Is that the plant withering? Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows that their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow, to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. Better the little the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. It's a long psalm. There's more we could read, but we'll see how we go. First thing I want us to notice this morning is a common temptation for believers, and that is to fret and to be envious of the ungodly. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. And in verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. And again in verse 8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. While you're here at church this morning, unbelievers have so much time on their hands, don't they? They pursue a whole range of leisure interests. They can go where they like. They live without sense of responsibility. They have time to catch up all their odd jobs on a Sunday, mowing the lawn, perhaps not today, washing the car, having more time to relax. Do you ever think, it's just such an effort to get up and be in church on a Sunday morning? But God's instruction is, don't be envious of them. These words come like one of the commandments, don't they? Don't be envious. I suppose in the words of the 10th commandment, don't covet what they have. Resist the temptation. But why not? When life seems easier for them, when they seem to have the better deal. Well, the answer is, consider their destiny and your own. What is the destiny of the ungodly? Well, it's spelled out again, isn't it, in this psalm, verse 2. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Their prosperity is short. It's not going to last. And when the tide of God's judgment comes, they're not going to stand. Verse 9. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Verse 10, a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. Verse 12 and 13, the wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked for their day, for he knows their day is coming. Verse 14, the wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. And then finally in verse 20, but the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. So God is actually going to remove the ungodly from our lives in the future. They don't have a part of his new heaven and new earth. But if we're godly, we have an amazing future. We are going to be around. It doesn't matter how tough it gets in the short term. If we belong to God, our future is gloriously bright. It's there again, isn't it? Verse 6, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Verse 9, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Verse 11, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Verse 18, the blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. Do you see how we need to take the long-term view of things? There's a great divide in the Bible. It's there at every turn, isn't it? There are two buildings, one built on sand that will not last. It's all your children's, your Sunday school lessons coming back. One built on a rock, a firm foundation for your life. There are two roads, aren't there? There's the broad road that many are on that leads to destruction. There's the narrow road, And it's a tough road, but it leads to life in Jesus Christ. There are two masters to our lives. Either Jesus is in control, either God is the Lord of our life, or Satan has dominion in our hearts. There are two destinies, heaven and a new earth, a place of glorious bliss, no more crying or suffering or shame or struggle, or hell is the alternative. Those are the two places. There is no middle ground. We're either in Christ or we're not. There are two philosophies to life, where I put myself first and my interests, and the I is on the throne, or else Jesus is on the throne of my life, and I look to him and I worship him and I honor him and I seek to live for him, because I know that he has absolutely everything in my future in his hands. We need to remember, you see, if we are Christians, if we are believers in Jesus Christ this morning, that this is not our home. This is temporary. These bodies we live in are like temporary tents, like a camping holiday, if you like. This is not home. God has something greater for you. Actually, it's the ungodly that are to be pitied, because they have no hope for the future. Stephen Hawking passed away this week. Everybody's revering him as this great scientist, but he had no certainty of hope beyond. We need to desperately share this good news of Jesus Christ with unbelievers, so that they may be saved from an eternity outside of God's presence. That's hell. To be shut out from all that is good and light for eternity. So a common temptation to fret about and be envious of the ungodly. Secondly, we consider their destiny and our own if we're in Jesus Christ. And thirdly this morning, how should I live now? If I'm taking this long-term view, that's all wonderful, what's ahead, but what difference is that going to make in the here and now about how I live my life? Let's look at some of the things that we're told to do in verses 3 to 9 as we wait for this fulfillment of God's ultimate plan for us. Still can't get this meat out of my teeth. Verse 3. Trust in the Lord. Do you really trust the Lord with your life? Every time you cross a bridge on foot, you put your confidence in that bridge. Don't do it if you live in Miami. We do fear. Feel sorry for those people caught up in that. Our confidence in a bridge that we walk across might be foolish. The bridge might be rotten. We might fall in a river. But our confidence is never misguided if we put our trust in God, if we step out with him. He will never fail us if we put our full weight on him. He's going to hold you up. But have you stepped out there and put your whole trust on him implicitly with your life? Do you believe that he is working all things together for your good, no matter how difficult it might get at times? Trust in the Lord. Verse 3 again. Do good. Do good. Never tire of doing the right thing. Even when others around you are clearly doing evil, be a witness for living the right way. Focus on pleasing God. Don't constantly look at over your shoulder and think, oh, they're getting away with it again. Always do the right thing, because you know ultimately you will prosper. Thirdly, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture, it says, doesn't it? Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. The image I have there in my mind, safe pasture, is of a shepherd and his sheep. And how we read, don't we, in the Psalms, of how the Lord leads the sheep out to pasture. And for me, that the message is flourish where God has put you. Unless he moves you on, of course. The thing is, it's so easy to become dissatisfied, isn't it, with the field that God has put us in. The grass always seems greener over in the neighbouring field. And we're prone to wander off, aren't we, to another field, to where we think there's better grazing. You see it all the time, don't you? People wander off to another job, or they wander off to another church. I might be doing that. I have been 12 years where I am. Or they wander off to another house because they're dissatisfied with the house that they're living in. You know, we live in a beautiful village in Battersford, just beyond Stone Market. But if you go down that road, there's house after house after house up for sale. And you think, wow, why do you want to move? Why do you want to move? It's because people are dissatisfied in this world. There's always something bigger and better. You watch these holiday programs about people buying houses, and they get there and they go, oh, this is my forever home. As if any of us have a forever home here. But then, you know, a few years down the line, they're dissatisfied with that and they go somewhere else. And that's their forever home. Are we prone to wander? Are we prone to become dissatisfied? Sometimes God does move us to new pastures, but it must be him that is leading us. Are we constantly people who are looking for a hole in the fence of the field that he's placed us in? How dissatisfied are you with your lot in life? Most importantly, are you flourishing in the field that he's put you in now? Stop thinking about the field that you might go to and focusing always on what else might happen. Are you flourishing for God in the field that he's put you now? Are you looking for him to lead you? Fourthly, verse 4, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I put that in capitals for a reason. Because for me, this is the key verse of this whole passage. This must be one of the greatest verses of the Bible. It's the key to having our deepest desires met. Delight in the Lord. Not in things, not in other people, not in possessions, not in experiences, but delight in the Lord. God is to be the all-satisfying object of our affections. Really delight in him. Draw close to him. Get more of him. And actually you'll find that your deepest desires are met as you get more of him. The word translated delight here from the Hebrew means actually be soft and pliable to the Lord, like a piece of putty. It's saying to God, you come in, God, you do the refurb in my life. It's not about the externals and whether I have a new kitchen. You do the refurb in here, in the internals. Because when God does that, your outward desires change. You no longer envy the ungodly, but you become contented with what God has given you and you delight in Him. You don't have to wait. I know we're talking about the long view and all that's to come, but you don't have to wait to know His joy. His joy can come into your life now as you draw closer to Him and He shapes your desires. So to verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust Him and He will do this. Commit to it. What does it mean to commit? 28 years of marriage. That's a commitment, isn't it? We've just had a dog last summer. That's 10 or 15 years of commitment. What have we done? There's no way back. To use a term from poker, it's to go all in, isn't it? It's to place all your chips on one outcome. The farmer might say it's to place all your eggs in one basket. To put everything into that relationship with God. Not to hold anything back. Have you been holding parts of your life back? God, you can have this, you can have that, but that's my bit, Lord. Don't touch that. It's to commit everything to Him. And God will reward this when you commit everything to Him. Verse 6, He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. You might not see an immediate, tangible return on your investment in terms of earthly prosperity if you commit everything to Him. Doesn't mean necessarily that your earthly circumstances will become easier. There might indeed be more suffering to endure in this life. But the eternal reward is guaranteed for the faithful. People might mock your Christian commitment, your purity of life, your spirituality. But vindication will come in the final analysis. Verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways. Be still before God. So many things it causes to become agitated and uptight, to fret. But we need to rest in Him. We need to take time out to be alone with Him. Do we do that? I know how life, it gets so busy and so frenetic. Do we take time out with Him? Do we go for a walk and speak to Him and listen to His voice? Do we sit in a room quietly with His word and read it and pray to Him? Do we have such patience? Finally, verse 8, refrain from anger. When someone angers us, our human inclination is for revenge, isn't it? To let people have it, particularly when it's the lorries on the A14. Oh, they always just pull out, don't they? Just as you're... So frustrating. Honk your horn as you go by. So hard, isn't it, sometimes to hold back our tongues or our tempers. But displaying that anger does not accomplish the righteous life that God desires. We need to leave room for God's judgment. He'll sort things out in the end. If someone mistreats you, don't repay evil with evil. Don't do a Jamie Carragher. When somebody provokes you, spit out the window at them. I know we think we wouldn't do that. No. I'm sure we wouldn't, but what is our reaction? You know, when someone does something towards you that is wrong, do something kind towards them instead. That really messes up their heads. When you respond to something evil done to you with being the way that you should be with them, it's an incredible opportunity to witness to God's love and grace and forgiveness. Because actually, that's what Jesus does for us. We mess up, we get it wrong all the time. We deserve only his punishment, his vengeance, his anger, his judgment. And what does he give us? His grace, his love, his forgiveness. And we need to exemplify that too. And remember, as it says in verse 11, it's the meek who inherit the land. How should I live? Trust God, do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Be still before the Lord. Refrain from anger. I knew I wouldn't get the second half of the psalm. I can ask you to go to the last slide, if you can, please. We're just going to... I don't always quote Mother Teresa, but if we can just go to the Mother Teresa slide at the end, please. Oh, I'll just quote it, it's fine. Here we go. Okay. Listen to the final analysis in verse 39 and 40 of the psalm. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is the stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Mother Teresa said this, and I thought it was just really sort of sum things up. People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It's never between you and them anyway. Remember that. Our lives are, it's between us and God, isn't it? And he promises that if we live that faithful life for him, that we will have that reward. Stop looking over your shoulder at other people and what they have and being envious and fretting. Know that God is in control. Take that long-term view of things. But remember, there may be some here this morning, remember that there are two buildings, two roads, two camps. You are either in Jesus Christ or you're outside of him. I would hate to think there were people here this morning that were heading for a lost eternity, putting everything into this world, into everything that's passing. Take the long-term view. And put your hope in Jesus Christ. Amen.